Corinthians chapter 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, I've got a few slides to put up. The first one, I wonder how many of us feel self-conscious about our bodies. I know I overate over Christmas. It's unbelievable. It's so rare that I do that. But over Christmas and New Year, and I trod on the scales once I got home from being somewhere else, and I thought, that surely can't be true. Turns out it is. I think self-consciousness about our bodies has probably always existed as a phenomenon, but it's especially true and apparent in our generation. And it actually really matters, because how we see ourselves, how we imagine ourselves, goes right to the heart of our sense of identity. Who am I? And that can be a good thing, but it can also be very damaging, as we all know. Now, many of you are looking now very unhappy. So just put that thought down. I'm just putting it out there because we're beginning to be thinking about the body of Christ. And I thought, I've got to reference this. We all have bodies, and many of us have complicated relationships with our bodies. But it is a dominant image in the New Testament, being the body of Christ. And we're going to be thinking a bit about that. But just as we might have a bad image of our physical bodies, we might have a poor image of the spiritual body. What does it mean to be church? Now, in 1960, there was a really great theologian, I think, called Paul Minier, who published an interesting, I think, a seminal book called Images of the Church in the New Testament. You can tell it just flew off the shelves. And so this theologian, as a Christian, looked at the New Testament and thought, how is the church presented in the New Testament? What are the images, the metaphors used? And there was a later work called Models of the Church, which I thought, oh, that sounds promising. It turns out they're more sort of scientific models, and it was a bit disappointing. But anyway... this first book, which is by Paul Minear, looks at 96, and I know you won't be able to read them all, but 96 references to what the church is. And some of them are really obvious, you'll know well. Others you'll have never noticed, or it's only implied somewhere in Scripture. The key thing to notice is often these images are implicit, not explicit, to our faith. And just as people could journey through their world and not actually realize they have a body image and that has a problem with it, people could have a bad church body image and not realize that's actually bad as well. So we're going to spend a bit of time thinking about what is church, what is the dominant image we have. And actually, because it's implicit, you may not even know how you think of church. And indeed, you're probably sitting next to someone else who has a different image, and you didn't know that there was a clash. And to use a Pauline phrase, sometimes Christians get their knickers in a twist because there's a clash of images or implicit theology of our theology of church, which is called ecclesiology. Ecclesia is the ones who have been called out by God for a purpose to be his church, his body. And we can find ourselves disagreeing and not quite knowing why. And it's often because underneath we've understood different things, but we didn't even know we did, let alone that we disagreed. How do you self-identify as church? And it really matters for mission. So imagine, and this happens to me occasionally, it happened recently. So what is the church? Someone outside this building, and I think we probably agree church is not about buildings, but when we're outside and you bump into someone who finds you go to church and they've no idea, they don't know that they've ever met a Christian before. And then they say, well, what is church? I wonder what your one sentence, if you had just one sentence, how would you describe church? So it really matters. And so I want to just begin by looking at 10 images. See which is your favourite. A hospital for sinners. So this is people who are a bit knackered by life or circumstances and say, I so need someone to heal me. And you find Jesus is the one who has the medicine for your life and your soul. Or does that sound a little bit too needy? I wonder if you like that. So let's go militaristic. Soldiers of Christ arise. Onward, Christian. The army of Christ. We're very purposeful. We know we're taking on the enemy, but we know we're going to win. Of course, it's not very PC these days, is it? It doesn't work so well for everyone. Ambassadors of a king. Well, Paul uses that image. So we're in the world, but not of the world, and we're trying to represent a different king and a different kingdom. It's a little bit niche, though. Most of us don't really know ambassadors. The bride of Christ. Now, that comes up a number of times. And I must say, you look gorgeous. But it tends not always to work well for blokes. You can feel, oh, I just don't really see myself in a white dress. Unless, of course, you are a vicar when sometimes you get to wear one. Then there's the community of disciples. Now, the word discipleship is obviously key. It's about learning, growing, it's information, following. The flock, a living temple. That comes up again a number of times. Although temple is perhaps back to building and a little bit static. You might think about John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you're the branches. So a vineyard. Staying connected with Christ, well, that's helpful. But again, it's quite a narrow understanding of church. Heralds, we tend, other than singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, heralds announce good news. Now, there's quite a lot in Scripture about the people who bring good news. They've got beautiful feet, apparently, and that would be a good thing to do, to let people know there is hope. or the family of God? Depends if you like your family, I suppose, but how well it works. So what I'd like us to do, just have 2 minutes to talk to your neighbour. If you're introvert and don't want to do that, be at peace, just have a think. And fold your eyes, look holy. But have a chat. You've got 10 images there, and if you can bear it, say which is your favourite. If you had to say, yeah, I picked that one, or which is your least favourite. Don't fancy that. Just have a chat. Okay, well, we'll gather in. You're able to carry on thinking later about that if that's useful. Let's just do a quick straw poll, and you, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But let's, if your favourite is that thing, when I call it out, raise a hand. Hospital for Sinners. 3 of us, okay. Army of Christ. 2. Ambassadors. Boo. Bride of Christ. There's one beautiful bride. Community of Disciples. Oh my goodness, lots of disciples here. Flock. 3 lost sheep. Living Temple, Vineyard, sitting together, obviously colluding, cheating, Heralds of the Word, 1, and Family of God. Okay, so the 2 favourites there, not representative. Now, the point is, you may not, before you came today, have even thought about having a model or an image that actually determines how we do or how you think we should be doing church. But it's implicit theology, and it's really important because it will determine how well we're getting on, whether we feel we're pointing in the same direction. And every image has some great correspondence, but also some weaknesses. So I think we're more likely to get a balanced, healthy self-image by holding them together in a creative tension. And if a church goes all out for one of them, it's likely to get a bit crazy at some point. But there is one image that is used very, very frequently, and of course that is the body of Christ. Even this isn't the only, it may not even be the best, but I thought it would be really good to think about this. So for the next 2 months, we're going to be exploring what might this involve if we are church and thinking about what being the body of Christ might involve. Now, body in the sense of a living creature, a living being. What are the characteristics? What are the signs of life in a body? So living organisms share many biological characteristics. Whatever it is, if it's alive, it's probably made up of cells. So living things are made up of cells as the basic building block of life. And this is worth thinking about. Do you think philosophically, sorry, that's screened out a lot of people already, but do you think, is it all about the cell? And it's good for a cell to be part of a body because then it survives. Is it all about the cell, really, the individual? Or is it all about the body? You could think of it in society. Do we want to have a really healthy, strong society, state rule? What could go wrong? And the individual doesn't matter. Well, that's going to have problems. But then if it's all so individualistic, it's all about the individual, and there's no commitment to a bigger structure, there's no coherence, and that's dangerous as well. So a church that is all about, we're a church, may harm or squash or pull individuals out of shape and do damage. But then a church that just says, oh, it's all about everyone does what's best for them, you know, that it's impossible to run. And it isn't coherent and doesn't pull in the same direction. It doesn't do work effectively. So there's perhaps a continuum there. How do we hold together cell and body, the individual and the whole? I'll speed up. Reproduction. living things reproduce and create more of their kind. Churches, and of course I'm saying these about living things, but let's connect it with church. Churches that don't know how to replicate will die. They just haven't got a future. So actually attending to that in church matters. Growth. Living things grow and develop. I've known congregations, present company accepted, who said to an incoming vicar, "We don't want anything to change." Well, good luck with that. That is a recipe for death. Only a dead body doesn't change, and even then it does, actually. It's not good. If we want to stay the same, we have to keep changing. But we might disagree over what are the good changes. It's possible we might have different opinions on that. A living thing responds to stimuli. So the environment is constantly changing, and we have to, in our bodies, keep homeostasis, same temperature and chemicals and that. Well, for a church not to change in a changing world, it's not going to survive again. But how do we say there's the unchanging truth about who God is and his ways, but present it afresh in each generation, or organize ourselves in a way that is wholesome and life-giving for the cells, for the members? Every living thing needs energy to survive. Do you know the things that give you spiritual energy and the things that spiritually deplete you? I mean, it's worth noting those things. There are some people, not you, who I find exhausting and I have to do damage limitation. And there are other people, they just bring me life. Now, we want to love the whole body, but we also need to be wise. Where is our energy? And are we pouring our energy into something worthwhile or not? Metabolism. So living things convert energy to grow, sustain, and repair cells. So do we know how to help individuals, one another? Do we have a mechanism for that? And movement. Living things can move and develop. Respiration. Living things get chemical energy from the oxygen and know how to do that. I wonder if you know the things that most give you spiritual oxygen, that make you feel, oh, I love God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. I really do. And other days I think, oh. Where do you breathe spiritually? And for most of us, that needs to be a balanced diet. That's why we offer a range of different types of service, as in Sunday worship or midweek. I wonder where you feel you're most at home, where you grow most, where you feel most alive. So in this new year, we're going to be looking at some of the different aspects of what it might mean to be the body of Christ. And today, I'm just giving an overview to the next 2 months. Now, Paul uses the image of a body in 1 Corinthians 12, which we heard earlier. Also in Colossians 1, we read that as well at the earlier service, and very clear about Christ being the head. And then in Ephesians 4 and 5. And tonight, we've got the encounter evening. We're going to read the whole of the book of Ephesians. It only takes about half an hour. And Hillary and Jim and I will be reading that. I'll do a little introduction. Under an hour, no collection, no singing, just listening to the Word of God. Do come along. But there's one of the major themes of Ephesians, of being body. What does it mean? And when you hear a whole book read through in one hit, it's really helpful to getting, oh, that's Paul's theology and ecclesiology. So how does Paul imagine church? Well, we don't have to guess. He wrote several letters about it. And we heard from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. What are the things that help you feel and know you are part of the body? Now, looking around, I can see people who are in a life group with me. So we meet fortnightly in a home, and I know more about those people and they know more about me than most of you, because I meet regularly with those people and we share life at a deeper level, and there's a higher level of vulnerability and sharing. Now, I would love to encourage you to consider that. If you're not currently in a life group, we've got a board up there with life groups. And just would you two just stand up? It's not a trick question. Turn around. So if you want to know more about life groups, do talk to Sue and Phil, because they oversee these. We've got 14 or 15 different groups at the moment. We'd love you to plug in. If it's not for you, be at peace. But I hope you do know the bits of the body you are most connected with, because that really matters for every one of us. So that's verse 12. Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Every part. I know when we're thinking about body parts, some people probably think, oh, I bet I'm an appendix or a toenail or something. But it turns out, you know, I've heard Christians say, oh, I've got nothing to give. I have no gifts. Well, you're the exception to the word of God, because God says he wants every part in the body. And I love the funny little bit that we read earlier, where it said we've got some unpresentable parts, which we treat with special modesty. It's ever so prim. You know, there's difference in us, and that's okay. We're not uniform. We're one body, but we are different, and that's fine. So we're not trying to be like one another. We're trying to be us, filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus. So the question is, do you know your role in the body? I mean, if we just turn up and it's sort of being given stuff in a very passive way, it's not really very helpful. It's one of the main challenges of bigger churches, because you can be a passenger, really. Everyone else is doing the work and you're not really feeling involved. I've known there's people in this church who I know feel they've had gifts and they've not used them. And I'm really sorry. I'd love you to be able to use your gifts, but I won't necessarily guess what you're best at or what you'd like to offer. So when we have a welcome lunch, which we're having at the end of January, one of the things we'll ask is, what are you good at? What would you like to offer to the body? And then we'll keep a note of that and pester you, and lovingly encourage you at the appropriate time. And what helps you to grow strong and effective in serving others? I've said in the body, it's not about Sundays, it's about life with God. Midweek, we've all got different mission fields, but where are you best placed? And are you in the place that is best? So what does Paul imagine church to be? He also says in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Christians, of course, would never be like that with one another. They always love one another so fully and completely that the world might believe and know, oh yes, tongue in cheek. It's sad, isn't it? And sometimes I've spoken foolishly about other whole denominations. I never want to be that person again. So every Saturday morning at our prayer meeting, we always pray for every church across this city, because we want every church to be beautiful and know they're valued and have their unique place in the economy of God to bring a broken, lost world into relationship with Jesus. And I want us to do that, but not in competition. We're part of the same team. And we remember that occasionally. So that would be good. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Nevertheless, some people are hard work, aren't they? Present company accepted. How can we learn to love every part of the body of Christ. Just as most of us probably struggle with some aspects of our bodies physically that we would like an upgrade, probably in the body of Christ, there are people you find really irritating. And if it's me right now, I'm sorry. We want to get better at loving each other. Pretending we find that easy is silly, because it isn't. Just as in the family of God. I mean, loving my human family. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it really isn't. And they'd say the same about me. So let's be honest, but how can we learn? We can learn it. For me, one of the best tricks when I've had a difficulty with someone is I imagine God blessing them. And then every day I just picture what the blessing of God might look like on that person. So she or he, I imagine them thriving and us being in a good relationship again. And that helps me to not be downhearted and be hopeful and pray with true energy that they will be blessed and be a blessing. How does Paul imagine church? Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Thank you for those of you who prayed for my son and daughter-in-law. And they gave birth to, she gave birth on Christmas morning. Got a little Santa hat from the hospital as a prize for being first born on Christmas Day. But I was quite anxious for different reasons of health stuff before that happened. And then, I come into church and there's people say, hey, is there any news? I know I've been remembered and my family is loved. I hope you feel your life is remembered and you're loved. And that if there's pain or joy, we share in it together. And sorry for those, I inflicted so many photos on people of my new grandson called Asher Isaac Degari. AI, so exciting. But we're sharing. So that we share life with God together. One of the most painful things I've done in life, of several stupid things in my life, I tend to run up the stairs. I'm habitually impatient. I can't walk upstairs. I always run. And I always forget when I'm in bare feet and I kick the riser. And I've broken my toe on occasions because I do it with such enthusiasm. And I know when that happens, I never say any rude words, of course, but I usually sit down on the stairs and hold my toe that is hurting. Instinctively. I wasn't taught to do it, I just do it. Instinctively, if we hurt ourselves, we hold the hurting part. Whom do you hold who is in pain? I mean, I bet right now most of us can think of a person or a home where there is pain. And we're thinking, how do I hold them with love? It doesn't take the pain away, but they know they're not alone. And who does that for you? To whom do you go? As a child, if I hurt myself, my dad was rubbish. I'd go to my mum. And who do you go to when you're in pain? To whom you can be truthful about your pain and appropriate vulnerability? It really matters. So that's part of how Paul imagines church. And of course, beyond everything else, sorry, that's a bit small, one head. And so in Colossians 1 and elsewhere, and Ephesians 4, Paul says, Christ is the head of the body. Sometimes people have said, oh, you're the head of that church, are you? I find that so uncomfortable because we're in real trouble if that's the case. Jesus has never vacated the role of being head of the church. So we have different roles, and that's appropriate. I'm a vicar. But we won't just do what I think is a great idea. I want to check it out with my colleagues. And lovely colleagues say, Jean, that's a stupid idea. Please don't do that. Okay. I find there's a wisdom in shared decision making. Jesus is the head, and together we're trying to stay connected with the head in different ways and learn, well, what is the wisdom of God? What is the purpose? And at the moment, we're working through a mission action plan. How are we more missional and effective in mission as a church? So we're all pooling our ideas, but trying to stay connected with the head. So what might Jesus want to do, not just with me, but with us? How could we be more missionally effective in our generation, in this city? One body, but one head. So that's the journey we're on for the next couple of months, thinking about what is church. And I hope even today you might carry on reflecting on it, and through the weeks ahead. What's your implicit ecclesiology? What, without even thinking about it, do you imagine church, and including this church? Who are we? What are we for? And what's your role within it? And I hope as we explore what it means to be the body of Christ, that's going to be really creative. Our sermons, our talks here are recorded. You might want to reflect on it and give it some space as well. I was also reminded, just as I finish, in my last parish, we had a Friday night youth club, just as we do here, and there were a lot of people who had no contact with the church. But all the team members, the members of the church who helped run that youth group, were made by the very insistent youth pastor to wear a T-shirt. So this is mine. You could tell who was a leader because they had this fluorescent orange T-shirt on with the sort of logo. But on the back is the word body. No one said anything about it. We just did it. And it was fantastic how over the weeks and months, youths would say, in a dull moment, this body thing, what's that about then? It was a great little doorway into saying, oh, well, you see the people in orange, we're a team, we're sort of a family, we're actually, we'd say body, we're part of the body of Jesus. It was a way of explaining why we're all different and yet we're all the same, because we're purposeful about doing some stuff. And my hope is that you'll all buy an orange T-shirt. No. My hope is that we'll all know what it means to be the body of Christ and have a bit of energy and joy in our service, because we'll know we're serving in something that makes so much difference and such a force for good in the world, and find joy in our service. So, Mary, who is coincidentally almost wearing the same colour orange, it's a sign, is going to lead us to think and pray together.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Strong. sacrifice. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.